Okay, we want to say good evening and welcome back to An Understanding of God's Word. I'm Minister Shanette Peterkin. We're here tonight with the panel to delve into the Word of God and discuss what it is the Holy Spirit has to say to us on tonight. Amen.
Amen.
We want to thank everyone each week tuning in and listening. We pray that we've explained it where you can understand it. And we don't say anything to out of malice or trying to, or ill will spirit, put it that way. But truth demands that we bring up our conditions to God's standard. Amen. Truth demand, God's truth demands that we change from the inside out. And so our way of looking at things is totally contrary to the way God looks at it. And so when the Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation or creature, old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. That means that God is really in expecting us to change. God didn't save us for the purpose of us to just be the same. He didn't save, and we read in the past weeks that we are his workmanship or his fabric. And so God, when he saved us, his whole intent was to change us to be like Christ. Christ was the blueprint. He was the one that came to earth fully God, but yet laid aside his expression as God to express, or he never lost possession of his deity, but he came to express himself as a man so that he could be the last Adam. He could impute righteousness instead of sin and the sin nature and disobedience, which Adam gave us when we were when they disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden. So when Christ came, his job was to, instead of it being disobedience and unrighteousness, the fruit that God now produces in us is righteousness and obedience. Okay? Yeah. But in order to righteously obey God, we got to have the right object of faith. Because everybody has faith to some extent or in something. But our faith has to be directed to the cross of Christ. That's the only way the power of God or the Holy Spirit can move in our lives to execute the righteousness of God. That makes sense? Mm-hmm. So what Paul is talking about tonight, and when we look at Paul, if you read and look at the style of the Apostle Paul, he never demanded, but he always said, I beg of you. I ask you, I plead with you, because it's the Holy Spirit who lusteth with envy or jealousy, because he desires that we obey him and not myself, my own desires, the will of the world system, Satan, and the flesh. He's earnestly zealous or jealous of us because he desires that our commitment be solely to Christ. And what's happened in the body of Christ is many of us come to him with a sincere desire to serve him, but when we go to religious organization or church, as we know it, and they're not preaching the message of the cross as your sole devotion and object of faith, then what happens is your affection is pulled away from trusting the cross, and now you're trusting in your own performance to become right with God.
Amen.
See, we're trusting in something that we do. It's right and good to go to church. It's good to read your Bible. It's good to pay your tithes. But when those things become the object of your faith as far as you trying to obtain righteousness, some of us think that we're right because we do those things. We're not.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And a lot of times, I said before, one of the biggest enemies to the Christian is doing good things. You hear people say, I don't curse, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I never touch drugs, and we'll get this halo around our heads. But still, you're a sinner because you were born in sin.
Amen. Amen.
Some of us think because we do good things and then we see other people that don't, it makes us think that we're right with God, and we're not right with God based upon our acts.
Amen.
We're not right with God based upon the things that we do. We're only right with God based upon who and what we believe in, and it's in what Christ has done. That's where the righteousness comes from. That's the only righteousness that God recognizes. But when he sees us performing in our strength, trying to become right with him based upon what we're doing, he said that's self-righteousness because it's promoted by self. is performed by human strength and ability to become right. So this is why you have people think they're right with God because of what they're doing in church.
Amen.
See, and this perception we have to tear down. This is why God said casting down every imagining. All of us have some perceptions or ideas or ways that are all of us. It may not, we may not see it and we may not think so, but the Spirit of God knows because he said he searched the deep things. He ignite our spirit, and he when he light our spirit, human spirit, he searcheth. And whatever area he sees that's the most important to work with, whatever area that's the most detrimental, that's going to keep me away from God, that's where he starts. And in our eyes, we start where we think.
Amen.
The things we think we need working on, and God's like, that's not your job.
Yes.
That's not your job. My job is to cleanse. You just walk in obedience to the process. Yield. Admit. Submit. Surrender. That's our job.
Yes.
See, my job is to be consecrated, meaning that I have to separate myself and will my total body, soul, spirit unto the will of the Father. And if ideas or ways, see, we're selfish. We're very selfish, even as Christians, because we're always looking out for ourselves, what we want.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll put our desires to get our desire done. We'll run down a person just to get our will, and then we'll cover it up with
mm-hmm.
religious jargon and make it look like we're humble and meek. But it's about us.
Amen.
It's about how we want things done and what we prefer, but we cover it up with the religious. And this is what God has to get to. He has to get to the heart of the matter.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Any questions or comments? All right, so tonight we're gonna
pick up with, because we're talking about being renewed in the spirit of the mind, but we're going to go elsewhere, and that's why he said walk worthy of the calling. He's called each of us to be Christ-like, to be conforming to the image of Jesus Christ. But there's some things that have to be put out of the way on a daily basis in order for this to come to pass. So let's start in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17.
This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of blindness of their heart.
All right, let's start right there. So we see the first thing. He's telling us how we should walk and live this Christian life. So we already know that we have received Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. The problem we have is walking, living for God on a daily basis. And he declared that the just shall live how? By faith. Remember, Satan is at work. We have so many things that are working against us to stop us from walking according to the way of God. We don't, when we come to Christ as a believer, we don't know how to live for God.
Amen.
We don't know, but we're sincere in our desire to live for him. We have a zeal, but it's not according to God's righteousness. See, it's not according to his standard. So the Bible says they had a zeal for God, but not according to his righteousness or his way. So many people in church are zealous to live for God, but it's according to man's doctrine, man's standard, man's tradition. You see?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And so God has to, he's Paul has to come in here, and he's telling the church, let's progress, let's go on, because otherwise you're going to be a babe forever. You got to grow. In order to know something, you got to, in order to grow, you got to know something.
Yes.
In order to mature. And see, we cannot, the Holy Spirit is responsible for giving us revelation. He is responsible for giving us ears to hear. That's why Christ would constantly say, he that hath an ear to hear. If the Holy Spirit is not working in me to put to death these things that Paul is mentioning here, if he's not working in me, I cannot receive spiritual things. I'm saved, but I can't see these things from God's perspective because I have not allowed him to work these things out of me. So he's talking to Christians. These are moral standards. He's saying God wants to impute or put his righteousness in actuality in you. See, when he see you covered in the blood, but he wants this to become a reality. That's why he says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. See, this is the job of the Holy Spirit, is to free us from our own, our old way of walking and living and looking at things. Amen?
Amen.
So the first thing he says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. He's saying, this day, stop it. Don't walk according to the ways of the Gentiles. That's what God pulled you out of. See, when Christian or new believers come to Christ, they're not taught this.
That's right.
They're taught, come, okay, now that you're saved, join something. And once you join, now get to work.
Amen.
What Paul, what the Bible teaches is that you must first sit, walk, before you can stand.
Amen.
See? A baby gotta learn how to rest in his mother's arms until he's able to sit up or sit and get that strength, and then he's able to walk and stand, right? There's a process. He crawls, right, before he can walk.
Amen.
He crawls. See, so it's a process to everything. And for the believer, the process is that we must rest in Christ. See, when I say rest, we have to cease from our own labor to live for him. I can't base it upon my own idea or on my zeal to live for him based upon my own human strength and efforts. See, I got to come. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Christ is the Sabbath rest.
Yes.
So we have to learn to rest in him. Stop working. Cain didn't want to. Cain, God was trying to get Cain to cease from his labor. He says, there's a lamb at the door. In the Hebrew, it meant a sin offering. So in other words, if Cain got wroth with Abel and killed him because Abel brought the right sacrifice. He was doing things according to God's standard. He placed his faith in the cross, and he didn't work for it. He didn't try to earn salvation. Abel didn't try to earn salvation, but Cain tried to bring a work of his own hands, a work of his own planning, scheming, and efforts, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the longer that I'm in my own plans, my own schemes, my own agenda, my own effort, and I continue, this is the way the Gentiles walk. They walk according to their own mind, their own desires, their own behavior, however they, so not according to my own strength and ability. See, they walk in the vanity of their mind. See, it says refers to living in the sphere of emptiness. So what they're doing is for no purpose. When I look at celebrities, all they're saying is a celebrity means celebrate me.
Mm-hmm.
See, so when they prance up there, it's all about them, and they think they are of importance, and you got people, oh, you see such and such dress. Oh, that's vanity. It serves no purpose. That's emptiness. What? All you're doing is boasting in people. See, you see what I'm saying? But it has no eternal or spiritual value at all. On earth, it may make you think you're grand and great, but it can do nothing for you. Really, it can do nothing for you. It can't make you, can't pay your bills. It can't, they can't. Y'all see what I'm trying to say? They can't. They can pay their bills. But in essence, many of them are killing themselves, got money, got the popularity, got the fame, but yet miserable. See?
Amen. Yeah.
Resorting to drugs, alcohol, and wanting to end their lives. Why? Because money cannot provide peace. Fame and having a celebrity status can't give you joy.
Amen.
Man was created with the moral code of God in him, and praise was developed. Praise was for God, not for man.
Right.
See, man cannot handle the praise that other men give them because it's due to, it was supposed to be for God. Y'all see what I'm trying to say?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So when man becomes prideful when man elevates, another man elevates and praise them. I'm not saying you can't talk well to people. I'm not saying that. But praise, when we try to pump and prime people and make them more than what they are, they can't handle that. That was meant for God. See?
Yeah. Amen.
Because he's worthy of all our praise.
Yes.
See? But man is not worthy. Not one man died on the cross to redeem.
Amen. Not one.
Not one. You see? So they, nobody's, one man, he said, how does scripture go? About the man that lay down his life for a friend. Greater love hath no man than to lay down his life. I don't see one celebrity laying down their life for a friend.
Nope. Man.
And when I say friends, you know, somebody might die for a good man, but for a sinner,
mm-hmm. Amen.
I don't think nobody's willing to give up their life for a sinner, somebody that hate them, see?
Mm-hmm.
So the world walks according to the vanity of their mind, and much of the church is walking according to the same, what we're pumping and priming, preachers, leaders, people in the laity, we're promoting them because of an ability, and the people that are spiritual, we're pushing them out the way because they're saying what thus saith the Lord, and man don't want that. So you see how the church is walking according to the vanity. We're celebrating men and women behind pulpits. We're celebrating people that come to church and can offer you a gift or an ability to promote your agenda in church, your vision. Y'all see?
Mm-hmm.
We're doing the same thing. This celebrity status is in the church.
Yes, it is. Amen.
That's walking in the vanity, and that does nothing for you spiritually. See?
Amen.
Why are they walking like that? Keep going to verse 18, please.
Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto Leviticus to work all uncleanness with greediness.
Okay. I'm sorry. Was that the end of that verse?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. So the reason why they're walking in the vanity of their mind is because the understanding has been darkened. See? It says it speaks of a process completed in the past, the fall, but having results in the present. So this understanding being darkened is what happened when Adam and Eve disobeyed God. Mankind went straight downward. A bent towards wrongdoing. And so if you and I, as a Christian, don't look to the cross and place our faith in the cross, guess what happens to us? Our understanding continues to be darkened. Why? Because we're not allowing the Holy Spirit. Remember we said that the Spirit of God ignites our human spirit like a candle, and it's supposed to grow brighter and brighter.
Amen.
That's why Christ says we're the light of the world.
Yes.
So, but you can be a Christian, but yet not a light.
Wow, amen.
You can be a Christian and yet not understand what Christ has done for you. You see what I'm saying? And the longer you hang out in that dark and having your understanding darkened, the further back in this life that he's talking about, the way the Gentiles walk, many of us go back into it. We're going backwards instead of forward, and that's called backsliding. See, we think backsliding is just the person, they went out there and they smoked, drank, cursed, party, they backslid. No, many people right there in church are backslidden or backsliding. Why? Because there's no progression forward. They're not going forward. And anytime we're not going forward, even standing still is not progressing forward. Is backsliding. You see what I'm saying? So this is why it's important that we don't just amen what we hear tonight. It has to be applied. God demands that faith be tested. And the purpose of the test is to see if is to prove whether or not your object of faith is in the cross. Many things that we go through, we think is just things that just happen. But there are things that God is allowing. James tells us that. Think it not strange. Peter tells us that. Or the fiery trials that come to try you as something that just happened out of the blue.
Amen.
But he said the testing of your faith is more precious than silver and gold being tried in the fire. Why? Because we have to prove the will of God in the earth. We have to do it. So God has to test I can say all day long, I love you, Lord. I can go and say and quote a scripture, but guess what? Christ says, why call you me Lord and don't do what I say?
Yeah.
See? God is, our understanding has to be, it can be darkened, and we can be Christian. So Paul is telling them here, don't walk in the vanity of your mind like the Gentiles. Their understanding is darkened. And so they're alienated from the life of God. Many, remember the Galatians, the reason why he said, O foolish Galatian, who bewitched you that you should not obey the truth?
Mm-hmm.
Was because somebody cut in on their spiritual growth and shifted their object of faith from Christ and the cross to circumcision. In order to be right with God, now that you've given your life to Christ, this is what they said, and I'm paraphrasing. Now, the Judaizers came along and told the Christians, now that you're giving your life to Christ, in order to truly be right and walk in righteousness, you got to be circumcised. See? Something physical and external. And don't we do the same thing? New converts
yeah.
come to Christ. We rejoice for a minute. Now we tell them, now that you're saved, you need to be working in the church.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You need to become a member. See, those things are right and good. Being a member of the church and working in church is something good that you can do. But most new converts, remember, they don't know how to live for God. They don't understand that they're not to walk according to their mindset and their old way of living. And if nobody's preaching, if they're not preaching the message of the cross, then people in church are walking around with darkened understanding.
Amen.
But y'all see it?
So, and that's how the church become a church full of people not knowing what to do, because when this group come in, you got to start working. Next group come in, you got to start working. Next group come in, you got to start working. So then nobody knows what to do or how to serve God, because everybody's ushering, singing on the choir, doing all this, but we don't know. Well, that's why we don't know sometimes what we're singing about and why we sing it. Oh, okay.
Right. So you may be sincere, and I've seen a lot of Christians. Nobody's, we're not questioning people's love for God. I believe there's a sincere desire to live for God, but not being taught. And I'm not putting all the blame on the who's behind the pulpit, because we're just as responsible. And I remember not knowing or understanding the cross, but I saw some things in church I knew and that was taught and I knew wasn't right. That's the Holy Spirit. He is your counselor. He is your comforter. He guides you. He will lead you into all truth, right?
Yeah.
Many of us been in church, and when you hear some things, doctrine, we're like, dang, that don't sound right.
Right.
That's the Holy Spirit in you, and his job is to lead you away from. See, here goes the problem right now. See, the Holy Spirit, God takes all that in consideration. He knows that sometimes you may be brought up in religion or whatever, but this is the thing. If I sincerely give my heart to Christ, I sincerely love him, and I give my heart to Christ, the word declares the Holy Spirit will direct me, lead me. Now, here goes the problem. If I become religious and think that because I'm in church that I'm right with God based upon what I'm doing, and the Holy Spirit could be telling me, let me show you truth. And truth may not look like the big edifice that you've been brought up in. Truth may not look like because this is what, you know, grandma went here, my family, and so here we go, wanting to stay in the darkness. And the Lord may be saying, I got truth right here on the Bible study line.
Amen.
Y'all see what I'm saying? But we've been conditioned to church and thinking that because we in a building and in the four walls and according to a program, then this is church. But the Holy Spirit is saying, I'm trying to lead you to truth. It's not about the individuals. It's not about this grandma church and you brought up. You got to be willing to forsake all that.
Amen.
If you want to come out of this darkness, and this is where the age-old problem, see, this is where God, the word is trying to penetrate your heart, the rocks, the stones, see? It's trying to penetrate the areas that God needs to uproot, tear down, destroy, throw down. And we think, I ain't going over it. And so God, the Holy Spirit will continue. He can't grow you up, but he can direct you and try to lead you into truth until you get your object of faith. He's trying to lead you to the sole object of faith being in the cross.
Mm-hmm.
This is what he's doing. He can't mature the believer until he gets their object of faith solely, exclusively in the cross. And once, let's say you got a sickness, something comes that make you realize that your hope, the church can't heal you.
Mm-hmm.
People can't, your position can't save you and deliver you. And now I got to look up.
Amen.
That's why I said the trials come. See, we boo-hooing and crying, but God says it's worth it. It's worth you going through this to get your soul right, to get your heart right, to get you changed and delivered from self, sin, the world, and Satan. Y'all see?
Yeah.
So what we're going through, there's no issue or problem that's greater than sin. See? There's no, I don't care if it's death. There's no problem that's greater than sin, because sin will send you and I straight to a burning hell. And God is willing to allow a problem, cancer, to hit your life or my life in order to save me from sin and hell. See, y'all
Amen.
See?
Yes.
See, God's love and his wisdom. We often look at the problem, but God is looking at the deeper issue, which is sin, which separates us from God the Father eternally.
Amen.
Eternity, not 500 years, not 1,000 years, not even a million years. See, at least it has an end if you knew it was for a certain. But this is eternity, see?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's worth Job going through the loss of all those things. It didn't feel good, and we're not saying to rejoice because you're in it, but we're saying when you go in through it, you can rejoice that your faith is in the cross and he'll help you through it.
Amen.
See?
Yes.
Because going through the trial will develop you, give us patience to stand under the weight of a trial, which in essence will change our character and give us approved, tried, and approved character to walk Christ-like.
Amen.
To be Christ-like. See, God is in the business of saving souls and cleansing us. It is not the job of the church to cleanse. It's the job of the church to preach the message that brings the Holy Spirit active in your life to cleanse. And this is where we've gotten it wrong for years. And that's why John the Baptist could say, or the Bible could say, that he was a voice crying in the wilderness. He was out in the wilderness. Christ was in the midst of the church, but eventually the church put him out on the outside of the door of the church, and he was knocking, saying, if any man have an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. What am I saying? Oftentimes that which is of God is pushed out into a wilderness or outside of, y'all see what I'm saying? Outside of the four walls. Why? Because man has taken over. The apostate church thinks it's increased with good and has need of nothing. See, we think because we got the numbers, we think because we're doing well financially in the church, or we have the big followings and we're doing all these things, whatever, that we deem is right, our understanding is darkened.
Amen.
See, we don't know the mind of Christ.
Right.
Why? He said, being alienated from God through the ignorance that is in them. Let's go to Romans 10, and then we'll keep your finger here. It says, why are you going to Romans 10? It says, through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. This is a willful ignorance and a willful blindness. So they are blind spiritually. They cannot see things that's happening in the earth from a spiritual perspective. They can only see it through the eyes of human perspective. Amen?
Amen.
So this is why we said the mindset, everything has to be renewed. Romans chapter 10. This is what happened to Israel, and we're going to start at verse 1.
Brethren, my heart, desire, and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge.
Okay, here we go. We read this scripture before, right?
Mm-hmm.
Repetition is good because it helps to paint the picture and it gets into our heart and our spirit, man. So he said, Paul said, my desire is that in prayer to God is for all Israel to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
He said that they have, he bear them record that they have a zeal. And there you go, that word again. It's a zeal for God. Same thing we see in church and what we were talking about earlier. Having a zeal to live for God, but not according to the way of God. See?
Mm-hmm.
They had a zeal. Paul had a zeal. Before he was Paul of Tarsus, he was Saul. And he went killing Christians, but yet he had a zeal to live for God. He thought because he was in religion and a Pharisee that he was doing what was right. See? When you and I, when our understanding has been darkened, and we're alienated from the life of God through ignorance and the blindness of our own heart, then we will think our way is right. And the Bible says that there's a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof is destruction.
Yes.
See, then it said all the ways in a man's sight are seemeth right to him. See, all his ways seem right to himself. Y'all know how we are.
Mm-hmm.
Think our way right. We don't want to research and know. I just know. My way is right, right? Don't we do that? So
yes.
He says, I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but it's not according to knowledge. It's talking about the right, having the right kind of knowledge. Everybody got some kind of knowledge. You can go to school and get some knowledge. You can go on the internet and get some knowledge and understanding. But we need the right kind of knowledge, right?
Yes.
So he says, verse 3, keep going.
For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth.
Okay, so he says, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness. What's God's righteousness? God's righteousness is what Christ did at the cross. That's how we became right with God when he died, right? He fulfilled the righteous demand that God required of mankind. Adam lost it. Adam gave this dominion to Satan. The Bible says that Satan is the little god, little g of this world, little g god of this world system. He controls the world system. God gave Adam dominion over the earth. Adam obeyed Satan, and guess what? Satan had a trick and a scheme. He never told Adam, what his desire was. He just said, you can be wise. You can be like God if you eat from this tree. But he never told him his agenda.
Amen.
He never told them his motive. And he knew, Satan knew, that if they would obey him, the Bible says, to whom you present yourself servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey. So they became servants of Satan instead of servants of God. It brought sin and separation. They said, hey, we want to be wise according to Satan's way. See, man put it in his own hands. He became self-conscious instead of God-conscious. See? And we do the same today. We look out for self. We think about how we can do it, how we can fulfill it,
amen,
how we can obtain what we need. We don't think about it. We get in a bind or whatever. First thing we do, how can we get out of this problem?
Amen.
And when we do that, you're going according to your knowledge, but it's not according. You're ignorant of God's righteousness, God's way, and you go about to establish your own. See,
mm-hmm.
This is what religion church it teaches us to do. So when we get outside of church and it's time to make a decision, the first place we go is not God. We'll say a little prayer, but we already got our our will in mind. We already know what we're going to do. God bless my mess.
Amen.
That's what we do. We already determined that I'm going to scheme and get this way, that way, and that's what we're doing. We're scheming.
Amen.
We're scheming and see so we can get out of our problems, not knowing and realizing that the problem is to show where your faith is.
Amen.
The problem is used to reveal to you and I where your object of faith is.
Amen.
See? And we 9 times out of 10, we think, oh, thank, we get out that problem, and guess what? The problem never goes away. You're going to always be in that rut. You may clear that hurt, that particular problem, but because you've not let God address the root of the problem, your problem, you'll forever be in a rut.
Amen.
Forever blue, despair, and agony. See, God can give us the answer to life's problems, but we are lazy. We want to sit down on it, and we want to take the path of least resistance, don't we?
Yeah.
It's much easier to sit back and let somebody tell me what I need to do, how I need to do it, and or help me out and do it, instead of me trusting God and say, Lord, I hand it to you. And God say, well, your first problem is you looking to sell.
Mm-hmm.
You a liar. You're angry. If you get rid of this attitude, see, we don't want God to tell us the truth about ourselves. You're stubborn. You're rebellious. We don't want to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's much easier to go and hear somebody behind the pulpit tell me pleasant things, or things that I can easily embrace and digest.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we want.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the Bible says we have itching. We find teachers. We have itching ears, and we find teachers that tell us what we want to hear. But if you can find a teacher or preacher that tell you stuff that don't feel good and it comes against the very thing that God is after, we should pause and say, am I your enemy because I'm telling you the truth?
Amen.
God's truth will hurt because we're walking in deception. We're walking in self-righteousness. So it hurts us because it's contrary to him. He said, can two walk together lest they be agreed? I can't walk with the Spirit if I got my own desire and he got the will of the Father's desire.
Amen.
See, we can't. So the Holy Spirit is like, that's why he what's the Bible say? He has jealousy for us. Not that he's jealous, but he's jealous to, because our affection is to the flesh and what human strength and human effort wants to produce instead of what God wants.
Yes, man.
So he says what Israel did because they were ignorant. It wasn't because they weren't ignorant because they didn't know. It was a willful blindness, which we read in Ephesians 4, a willful ignorance and a willful blindness. Meaning that they pushed away what God required and said, we're going to do things this way.
Yes.
So it tells us right here, and going about to establish what?
Your own righteousness.
And have not done what? Submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. They didn't want to submit to. The Pharisees knew who Christ was. They knew he was the Messiah. But instead of them embracing him, because they knew what the scripture said about what the Messiah would do. But the Bible tells us they schemed, and they knew the people had embraced Christ, and they schemed and got false witnesses against him. They knew who he was.
Amen.
But they didn't want to lose their position, their status in the church. See, they had the reputation that you could be excommunicated from the church. You could be kicked out of the church. And back then, if you were kicked out of the church, that was your livelihood, because the church was tied with the state kind of like thing. It was like with your job and all that stuff. So if you were kicked out of the church, excommunicated, you had nothing. That's why the blind man, the parents of the blind man were afraid to say that Jesus healed him. They said, he's of age, ask him for yourself. They didn't want to be excommunicated. They didn't want to be kicked out. So he tells us in verse 4, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Meaning that Christ totally fulfilled the law of God. When it came, he did not sin. He walked this earth as a man, but without sin. He did not yield to the temptations of Satan to use his powers as God. He didn't do it. So he passed the test as the last Adam. He did everything the way Adam should have done it.
Yes.
He had to subject himself under the law. That's why John the Baptist said, no, I don't need to be baptizing you. You need to baptize me. He said, we have to do this, for this is right. He had to stay under the law, do things according to the law, because he had to do it without breaking the law.
Yes.
He was the only man who fulfilled the law without sin.
Amen.
So because he was the last Adam, because he was our representative man, if we look to him, he can impute the righteousness instead of disobedience and unrighteousness that Adam gave us. Now he can correct and perfect that which was wrong. See?
Yes. Yes.
We won't have the total. See, we'll be in this body of flesh, which means that we're prone to sin. But me, evidence and faith in the cross will declare that I can be given a body that's incorruptible. See?
Yes. Amen.
This is why you and I have to believe to the end, because me placing my faith in Christ and the cross, living by faith on a day-to-day basis, when the rapture come, or when I'm when the Lord, when I die and go, when the rapture come, I can be transformed. My body will be transformed. See,
yes,
it won't be a corruptible body. It won't be prone to sin. It won't be prone to sickness. It won't be prone to getting old and aging and all that stuff. And this arthritis and gout y'all were talking about. See,
Amen.
We no longer will be prone to that. So when the rapture come, our bodies will be changed. This is glorification. See?
Oh, yes.
This is why we evidence faith in the cross to the end, because one day when I die and the Lord come back, I'm going to be guaranteed a incorruptible body.
Yes.
So y'all understand the cross, placing your faith, salvation is big. It entails just being justified, the wrath of God settled, and you declared not guilty. Then it also entails sanctification, which means that because you're justified, now God can deliver you from sin, from self, the world, and Satan.
Yes.
He can change us from the inside out on a daily basis, right?
Amen.
And then glorification is that as I continue to look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith, when the rapture comes, he will give me a body.
Yes, amen.
I will be given the promise of God that my body will be changed, and I'll be like him. See?
Yes. Amen.
I'll be like him. See, so we were given a glimpse of what that glorified body looked like when Christ was resurrected from the dead. He went through the wall. Remember, he appeared to them.
Mm-hmm.
He was eating fish.
Yep. Amen.
He ate with them. His body was at that age of 33 and a half when he died. So people say that we'll probably be around that age. Our body probably be around that age. So there was no sickness in him. There was no blemish.
Amen.
So y'all understand? So these are the things that we look forward to as we continue to look to him on a day-to-day basis. Y'all see?
Amen.
So let's go back to Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll finish this. Let's finish this up right quick. Let me go back here. Ephesians 4, I forgot what verse we stopped on. Let's see.
19.
Okay, start back there for me.
Who been past feeling have given themselves over unto Leviticus to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus.
Okay.
That ye
so
put
all... I'm sorry, Sister Cherry. Let me stop right there. So I'm not going to go into all that because we kind of went into it, but I want to get to where we need to be before our time run out. So he's telling them that we have to pretty much, if you continue to let these, your feelings control you, your emotions, you depending upon what the world says, the world system, you putting your faith in what you hear and what you see according to the world system, and he's saying you haven't learned Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Learning Christ means identifying with Christ.
Yeah.
It says it stands in contrast to the insensitive, passion-dominated pagans who exist only to satisfy their lower nature. See, we're not called to satisfy our flesh, the lower nature. In other words, the Lord saves us from sin, not in sin.
Amen.
See, the world wants to remain in sin and then make it legal. The world don't want to hear no priest. See, all these things that's happening in the world, and this is why I say we have to let God transform us and and we have to come to learn Christ is because the world wants us to condone, and it wants us not to be that voice of conviction to them. They don't want to be convicted. So if we can, everything that's happening, all these things and laws been, and these transgenders and abortion and all this stuff being legalized is to silence the church. It's an attack against God. It's never about the flesh and blood, and I want to get to that tonight. There, what we're wrestling against is not President Trump. What we're wrestling against is really not the Congress and the White House. There are spirits behind, see? There are spirits and fallen angels. If we can see in the spirit world, and this is where God wants to get us, we're wrestling against principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. And it's all over the world. There are demonic spirits and fallen angels that control nations. There is a power struggle right now for America to turn away from God totally, away from the Constitution. And if many of us, if we're too focused on the little incidents that's happening, that's revving us up, we'll miss. Satan wants us to miss what's going on. I was reading a book, and it was talking about the agenda of Islam. See, we have to come to know. God will give you the insight. He'll direct you on what to read and stuff. But Satan wants us ignorant of his devices. So I was reading this book, and it was telling us about what the Quran says and all these things, what the Muslim Brotherhood and all these people, and we don't see them. The media don't show us what's going on behind the scene. They paint this image to make us go against the very ones that's trying to preserve our Constitution, our rights, and all this stuff. They're painting them as bad people, and what's happening is the truly people that are bad, they've been put in office and in positions. They got the Muslim Brotherhood. One had a group called Kair. These groups, the Western, the Middle East, they want to make us, they said that the FBI found a report, and it says that they want to paint the image as if terrorism is the thing that we should be alarmed about, right? ISIS even said it. But ultimately, it says that Islam's goal is to come into America stealthily where we don't see it. So guess where they're at? They're running. They're in our White House. They're in our Congress. They're in our Senate. And the goal of them is to indoctrinate. Over in Britain, they have changed laws, and their laws support Sharia law. Guess what they're doing here? The woman, Ilhan Omar from Minnesota, if you go to Dearborn, Minnesota, if y'all look it up, that's why we have to research and know. You go to Dearborn, Minnesota, is a town in Minnesota. The whole area is, you would think you were in the Middle East. They elected this woman called Ilhan Omar. She's in our House of Representatives, U.S. Representative, and she has been doing anti-Semitism against the Jews, all kind of stuff. They hate Jews. See, they all hate Jews. And what she made them, first thing she did when she got elected was to change the law so she could wear her head thing. Y'all know what I'm talking about, hijab, mm-hmm. Is that what it's called? Mm-hmm. They didn't change the law, so they support that. So the whole point and purpose, they said, we can't get you on the surface thing, but what we'll do is they work slow and methodically. Come in, change your laws, bring our people, and it says the whole point and purpose. If you go, they say, if you migrate over to the U.S. or the Western civilization, anybody that goes and plant their doctrines, they held them up as some great person. I'm not saying it right, but they have all the documentation, legal documentation, to show these groups that come off like they're, oh, we're here in peace, but their whole purpose is to change America. That's why they support mass immigration. That's why the border is an issue. It's not about the poor people coming up. No, they're bringing over these people. Y'all notice how the caravans are coming?
Yeah.
If you look over in Europe, Germany, they are flustered. France, they got all this mass immigrated, had open borders, and these people are flooding their nation. It's not the same. They changed the whole culture. If you go to Dearborn, Minnesota, guess what they got over there? The whole area is the Middle East, like the Middle East. They're not changing. They're not saying, we want to come over and assimilate. They're saying, we're changing your country to be like us, to embrace us, to change your law. And this is why we have to pray, because there is an agenda bigger than you and I. I didn't mean to go that way. But this is, I guess, we went that way to show how we have to learn Christ. If we learn Christ, we can see he will reveal the hidden agendas. We'll know how to pray, put it that way. We'll see the schemes of Satan, and we'll know how to, he said, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose shall be loosed in heaven. This is what God wants to reveal to us, and this is why we have to get beyond ourselves. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so let me hurry up, because I want us to get to a certain place. So, Sister Cherry, can you, he said, so you have not so learned Christ, if so be you have heard him. He said, since it was Christ you heard preach and have been taught by him, should have been translated in him or in the sphere of Christ in the cross. Remember I said the church is not teaching the born-again believer about Christ living for God based upon their faith in the cross, justification, sanctification, and glorification, right?
Mm-hmm.
As the truth is in who?
Y'all
see me
in
verse 21? Right.
Uh-huh.
It says the truth is not only in Jesus, it is what it as well is Jesus. That's John 14:6. And the first thing he says, tells us to put out to do is what, Sister Cherry, verse 22?
That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust.
Paul is telling this to the church. Why is he having to say this? Because it was a problem. The Christians were living according to their old way of thinking, old lifestyle, the way they were when they were in the world. So he said, you're not living according to the world system. There has to be a change from the inside out. You have to take the message of the cross and put your faith in the cross and let the Holy Spirit put off that former conversation or lifestyle concerning the old man. And he tells us what's wrong with it. It's corrupt according to the deceitful lust. It said the unsaved person is subject to a continuous process of corruption. And it grows worse as time goes on. So he's telling the believer, we can't live like that. This is why some Christians, if they're not in the message of the cross rooted, they will start out and they'll be one way on fire for the Lord. But the more that they go into religious works and activities, you'll notice that they start changing. They're going back into that old way of living.
Amen.
That former lifestyle. That's what he's saying. But he tells us in 23.
And be renewed in the spirit of your mind.
This is a continuous act. It don't happen one time, that's it. If I'm not continuously hearing the message of the cross proclaimed and explained, I can't be renewed in the mind. I can sit under the message of the cross and hear it over and over. But until I act by faith, until I embrace it and say, yes, Lord, I got an issue. It's me, it's me, it's me, oh, Lord. Standing in, not my brother, not my sister, not my, y'all know it's easy for us to see the faults in other people, right? We can point out the faults in, so, oh, yeah, but he's saying, you be renewed in the spirit. It's a continuous act.
Amen.
In the spirit of your mind. See, it has to do with the human will.
Yes.
We have to encourage ourselves. Sometimes you be like, you know, at work or whatever, and it's something you don't want to do, and you like, you know, and then you have to remember, you know what? I was hired to do this.
Mm-hmm.
We can get comfortable in our old, y'all understand? We can get comfortable doing things the way we want, and somebody come along new or whatever, and we like, who they think they are? They want to change me from doing this and doing. And the Lord said, you do everything to the glory of God. Whatever your hands find to do, you do it to the glory of the Lord. Do it that it might glorify me. Do work extra hard.
Amen.
See, we'll get around the folks on the job. They murmur and complain, and there we go.
Amen.
Not realizing the Lord, you know, it's a, we'll miss the blessing of having a job because so many people don't.
That's,
see? We'll get demanding, raise my pay, raise my pay. Well, are you working worthy of your pay?
Amen.
We'll follow the crowd, raise this, and like they're talking about the raising the and nothing wrong with raising the minimum wage, but they want to raise the minimum wage to this ridiculous high, $15 an hour. Well, guess what? You working yourself out of a job, because when they do that, companies gonna compensate. They're gonna get their money. They gotta get their money some kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
So they start cutting back, and you may be one of the ones to lose your job. You see?
Yeah.
So you have to be careful, because they done had so many people. They raised the minimum wage. Well, guess what? Walmart or McDonald's did. They got automated. Where you don't need nobody to drive through, or you don't need no, y'all understand, when you go in to order now, they tell you, they point you directly to the that thing on the screen. You punch in what you want and put your card in, boom. That's 2-3 people replaced. You see what I'm saying?
Amen.
So wisdom of God, see, we can't fall for these tactics, because the enemy used, same thing with Adam and Eve. They don't tell you the agenda behind why they want the minimum wage raised. They make it look like they're looking out for us, but there's an agenda, see?
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit will reveal that to you and I, but we have to be renewed in the spirit of our mind to see it. And so I'm going to read this last one, and we're going to have to close. It has to do with the human will. The mind of the believer must be pulled from a dependence on self to a total dependence on Christ, which can only be done by making the cross ever the cross, the object of one's faith. So it takes this renewal of the mind. If we can go to Romans 12 and end on that one, then we'll hit the rest of this next week. Can we go to Romans 12 right quick? Let me see how much time I have. Romans 12, and we'll get to, let's start at verse 1. We got time. We got 3 minutes.
Okay. Verse what now?
Verse 1.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
All right. So we're talking about being renewed in the spirit of our mind. So the first step into being renewed is that we present. See, Paul says here, he beseeched. He didn't command or demand. He said, I beg of you. See, man is never to command or demand of you. Only God can command. See, and God doesn't even demand of us. Y'all see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
He make commands, but it's still up to me. He leaves me with the free will to obey, right? God doesn't want a robot just do what I say. He wants a willing servant.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing he says, in order to be renewed in the spirit of my mind, I have to present my body a living sacrifice. I don't come to God. Many of us want to just die to get out of our problem. It's easier to just die, Lord, just take me, than obey. Because if you have to obey, you might have to be humiliated. You're gonna have to decrease. You're gonna have to let His will be done instead of your will. So what are we dying to? We're dying to ourselves. We're dying to sin. We're dying to that old world, being dependent upon the old world system. We're dying to self-effort, human strength, and you're putting your total trust in God. You're saying, you know, y'all know how we like to be in control. Well, I like to know what's going on tomorrow. I like to know, you know, we like to know how stuff going to be done and when it's going to be done. And well, we don't want to be hit with, I don't know how I'm going to be healed. I don't know if I can be healed. Nobody wants to deal with that, right? We want an assurance. We want to see something. We want to see things come to pass and know that it's going to be okay, right?
Right, man.
So But what we have to do, we have to present ourselves a living, trusting God, saying, come what may, Lord. And we have to get to this point. The Holy Spirit has to develop us with the grace of God to get to this point. It doesn't just happen like, oh, okay, I'm there. No. It happens through obedience day by day. So daily as I yield and surrender to the will and the way of God in little things, see?
Yeah.
If I'm not obeying in the little things, guess what? You ain't going to be able to present yourself a living sacrifice.
Amen.
It's the little steps that lead me to being the living sacrifice. It's the little obedience. Abraham, get your family. You get up out and leave your kindred and go into a place that you have no idea, no clue. Leave your gods, your moon gods, or whatever you're worshiping. Get up out of this land. Leave your family and go. Abraham packed up and left. You see? First surrender. The next thing, Abraham, separate yourself from Lot. He's a hindrance, and no, you need to let him go. Let him go where he want to. Okay, Lord. Y'all see?
Mm-hmm.
Abraham, I'm going to give you a son. But Abraham tried in his own strength. So it was only until all hopes of the flesh had died that Abraham eventually got the son. But then God says, take your only son. See, by the time Abraham got to that point, Abraham could offer his son because he obeyed in leaving the land of Ur, or where he came out of. Y'all see, he obeyed leaving and doing what God required of him. You see what I'm saying? So you and I can't present ourselves as a living sacrifice only as I, by faith in the cross, obey God in my day-to-day, whatever he's commanded me that day, that instant, that hour. This is why many of us are stuck. We're trying to be big and bad and say, I'm going to present myself over here. And God said, you ain't obeyed over there.
Amen.
You have not obeyed in what I required of you. That's just like I told you about your kids. You tell them to clean your room and do this and do that, and you come home. Well, I swept the floor. You see what I'm saying? But they didn't do what you asked. And this is how we are with God. We over here trying to get, well, I went to church and I paid my tithes, but I want to deal with your heart, this anger issue. I want to deal with you lying.
Amen.
Well, I'm going to go, and Lord, I love you. I worshiped. I went and sung on the choir, and I helped the poor, and I'll even visit the rest home. And the Lord said, they ain't got nothing to do with what I'm requiring of you right now. See?
Amen.
I have to say, Lord, it's me, it's me, it's me. I am the one that got mad. I am the one that caused this relationship to go sour. I have to face that I'm holding on to unforgiveness. Y'all see?
Mm-hmm.
And when I present myself, Lord, it's me. See, that's humiliating that you got to go back and apologize. Right. Lord, be like dealing with your heart. And it's humiliating to go back and apologize because self is dying.
Amen.
So this is how I present myself to the Lord, hold a living sacrifice. I'm dead to what I want, Lord. And because you died for me, I'll decrease for your purposes. It's not about me. It's not about what they think of me. It's not about, you may be falsely accused and ridiculed and criticized for doing what's right. And guess what? If you're over there trying to defend and prove that you didn't do this, the Lord said, you ain't dead to self. You still trying to preserve self.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you may have to go and it looked like you the bad guy, but the Lord said, present yourself. Be willing to decrease for my purposes. Yeah, they think you stole and you did this, but guess what? Present yourself a living sacrifice. That's how you and I are living, because we're dead to self. We're dead to sin, and we're dead to the world and Satan.
Amen.
So he tells us how to present ourselves holy. Only way I can present myself holy is because Christ was the end of the law for righteousness, see?
Yeah,
because I exhibited faith in Christ, he became my righteousness. He became my holiness. And I'm only acceptable unto God because my faith is in what he's done.
Yeah.
God said, that's your reasonable service. That's what we see. We're supposed to look to the cross. That's what the believer is supposed to do. That's our reasonable service unto God, is to look to the cross so that I can be holy. And this is what we're supposed to teach the convert, the new believer, the Christian.
Yes.
It's not what you're doing externally. This is your reasonable service, evidence and faith in the cross, so that you can be holy and acceptable in the sight of God.
Amen.
See, that's the reasonable service.
Amen.
And we're going to have to get into verse 2 next week. It says, read verse 2 and we're going to close.
And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Now, you see, we're not to conform to the world, the ways of the world, but the transformation is going to take place as my mind is being renewed. Remember, he just said we had to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. This is what the Holy Spirit will do as I present myself a living sacrifice, because my faith is in the cross. When your faith is in the cross, you'll know that you're a living sacrifice when God requires something of you, and self has to be denied.
Amen.
See, self, when you have to lower yourself, Lord, for your purposes, I decrease. You see, it's something that is not a struggle. As like I said, as you walk by faith, the first surrender may be a struggle. Abraham, leave your family. After you take that first surrender and you start becoming more familiar with the voice of God and the will and the way of God, it becomes easier. But see, that first step, if you don't want to give up cursing, lying, smoking, drinking, and all these things, it's going to be hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be hard because that's what you like to do, self. But decreasing for his purpose means, Lord, I lay it all. I lay it aside because I want to do your will. I want your purposes created in me.
Yes.
I want to be presented to you holy and acceptable. And the only way I can is by evidence and faith in the cross. And so then the transformation takes place because you've been renewed. Your thing, y'all understand, and we're going to close, that if your mind, if you get something in your mind, what does your body and soul do?
Follow it.
If you make up, right, amen, you make up in your mind, I'm going to lose weight, I'm going to start working out. And if you get it in your mind, everything else will follow.
Yeah, that's right.
So the church has to get in its mind that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness.
Yeah.
That Christ is my hope. But I got to evidence faith. I got to live this life by keeping my faith in the cross on a daily basis. And that's what God requires of me. That's it.
Amen.
And when I do that, the Holy Spirit puts in you and I a will and a desire. So your will and your desire starts changing from depending on the world and the ways of the world and looking at things from the way that the Gentile world looked at it. And now you're seeing things from God's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
You're not basing upon what people told you. Now you being a Berean and you studying and coming to know the truth for yourself, and truth is making you and I free.
Amen.
Yeah.
All right. On that note, I'm going to have to close. But we're going to take questions and comments at the end of the call. And I pray that we said some things that will help you to see this. It's very important that we allow this renewing process to take place in our mind. Otherwise, our minds will be alienated from God and continue to stay in or have our understanding darkened. This is what I said before. Many of us as Christians are stuck right there. Our understanding is darkened. So when God starts speaking spiritual truth through the gifts in the body of Christ, we can't comprehend them because we're looking at it from a human perspective. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. So for those on the line, hold on. And we want to thank everyone for tuning in. We'll be back with this topic next Tuesday at 6:45 on an understanding of God's word. Thank you and be blessed.